Good afternoon, everybody. It's a good day.
It's a great day.
And thank you for joining us.
Any day you wake up on this side of the grass is a good day.
That's true. If you want to put it morbidly.
That's not morbidly. I don't think it's morbidly. Listen to music. Listen to that. Everybody needs to smile. There is enough going on to drive most people bonkers. But yes, as Taylor said, thanks for joining us. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and my co-host to introduce the show is my daughter.
Taylor.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm back.
She's back. And stop the music.
Oh, boy. What?
You are a bona fide high school senior.
I made it. I've just got one more year left. From Monday, it is exactly it was 364 days till graduation.
Oh, my goodness,
Monday.
Taylor. It's not even.
It's time to start counting.
Do you have a countdown on your phone?
No.
Okay.
I'm not that
okay.
Extra.
I thought you would have one.
I just.
Okay. It's within a year.
Miss Martin had to remind me and her daughter that we graduated 364 days from Monday. So, it's
high
coming.
School senior.
Woo!
Wow. I never thought you'd survive living here that long.
I never thought I would lose my favorite teacher before I got my senior year.
Well, but then you moved on. You're taking college courses now, too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's just a great bonus, don't you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I also survived prom, believe it or not.
Survived prom.
We made it through no crises except for the daggum boutonniere.
What?
Don't ever get a boutonniere from Angles.
Oh yeah, okay. We're not even going to go there.
There's
enough drama in this world without y'all adding to it about your boutonnieres and Angles and everything else.
Still have a grudge against Angles.
Yeah, yeah. No, we need to laugh. We had, years ago, my niece, Lindsay.
Yes.
It was at Thanksgiving or something. We got to telling Chuck Norris jokes.
Oh, gosh.
You remember that? We're sitting at the table, like, Mom, just rolling jokes. And seriously, with all the stuff going on in the news these days and gas and everything else.
I'm sorry, I never thought gas would be a crisis around here.
Yeah, you don't remember the 70s.
Well, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Not born yet.
But anyway, I just, you know, hey. Chuck Norris is always a good one. Let's see.
We used to do weekly Chuck Norris.
We used to do,
jokes.
Yeah, it kind of got old, and then I stopped, and we might need to resurrect it again. Maybe that's one of the, put that on the list of things we got to talk over starting next week.
The list.
The list.
There's a
yes,
list.
There is a list.
Oh, joy.
We have a list of.
Don't you know I just love
topics
lists.
And guests and everything, and periodically during the year we have to reassess and. Get our schedules together. We're holding back this week because we have some good news coming out of the South Carolina Boating and Fishing Alliance, but we have to wait just a bit.
I hate waiting.
Until the all the people are gone from Columbia.
All the people.
Chuck Norris can strangle you with a cordless phone. Remember that? That would be funny, a cordless phone. Chuck Norris can kill your imaginary friends.
Wait, Chuck Norris tells Simon what to do.
Tell Simon what to do. Chuck Norris makes onions cry. Chuck Norris has never blinked in his entire life. Never. Chuck Norris can speak Braille. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. Let's see. What is this? The flu has to get a Chuck Norris shot once a year. Chuck Norris is the reason why Waldo is hiding.
Chuck Norris can kill two stones with one bird. Yep.
Chuck Norris sleeps with a pillow under his gun. Death once had a near Chuck Norris experience. MC Hammer learned the hard way that Chuck Norris can touch this.
Oh my gosh. These are so bad.
Bulletproof vest wears Chuck Norris for protection. What is it? Chuck Norris once won an underwater breathing contest with a fish. It takes Chuck Norris 20 minutes to watch 60 minutes.
Why is he so bad? So
Chuck Norris can make a slinky go upstairs. Chuck Norris can squeeze orange juice out of a lemon.
Chuck Norris can clap with one hand. And
Freddy Krueger has nightmares about Chuck Norris. I'm sorry. I just thought we all needed to laugh today. Let's see. If you spell Chuck Norris in Scrabble, you win forever.
Chuck Norris threw a grenade and killed 50 people, then it exploded.
Chuck Norris beats rock, paper, scissors, cannonballs, tanks, super destroyers, nuclear weapons, exploding stars. I could go on. When Christopher Columbus discovered America, he was greeted by Chuck Norris. When we first landed on the moon, the astronauts noted that there was a print on the moon that said Chuck Norris was here.
Oh, Lord. This just gets better and better.
Oh, man. Mission Impossible was originally set in Chuck Norris's house.
I can't. I gotta quit.
Oh, man. There's no chin behind Chuck Norris's beard. There's only another fist.
Chuck Norris can dribble a bowling ball.
Chuck Norris does not sleep. He waits. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris.
Okay. I can't breathe.
One more.
One more.
Chuck Norris can play the violin with a piano. One more. One more. Chuck Norris ordered a Big Mac from Burger King and got it.
What? That made absolutely no sense.
Chuck Norris ordered a Big Mac from Burger King and got it.
What?
Oh, think about it.
I'm
this
blonde.
Is fun. I know you're blonde. You're blonder now than you have been in a while, and I like it a lot.
I have an excuse to be stupid.
No, I mean, you can only, normal people can only get Big Macs at McDonald's. Chuck Norris ordered one at Burger King and got it.
Oh!
And everybody clapped for her. She got it.
I'm smart.
Anyway, I know we just wasted 8 minutes of the show.
Segment.
But I just, you know, I hope everybody enjoyed laughing. If you didn't enjoy laughing, check your pulse.
No, you all have a friend, but it takes a little extra longer to get a joke.
Yep.
I'm that friend.
Yep, you're that friend. But anyway, yeah, we do have some stuff to talk about this show. Rearranging schedules again. Gosh, it's one of these days it will calm down. In fact, Monday is the tax deadline, so one way or another, things are going to calm down a lot after Monday. And then we'll get back on a regular rotation of guests and topics and stuff like that.
Hopefully get back in the station.
Yeah, we're going to get back to the studio some and do some live stuff and give stuff away. Got some giveaway stuff we've been hanging on to, so... Yeah, it will be fun again soon. Maybe.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good Chuck Norris joke?
Or 100.
Or 100, yeah, really. read fast enough where you start crying and all that. But anyway, do we have a short chart of accounts. Gosh. Let's just go to break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Y'all hang on. And welcome back to the second segment of Woods and Water South County. I think I saw you bouncing over there.
I didn't.
I was going to say we had a calendar of events.
Chart of
not a chart of accounts. Tells you where my mind is these days. Or at least another Nerd. Couple anyway. Nerd, yes. Okay. 32 years. How old are you? Almost
you
twice.
Don't know
almost twice as long as you've been on this earth.
Daughter is.
I know how old you are. Almost twice as long.
But speaking of nerd, I am one.
How's that?
Finished up with all A's.
Oh, that's true. You did. All A's.
Imagine being a blonde nerd. See, I can be stupid when I want to and use my blondness for an excuse.
And just for future reference, I've told you this time and time again.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking to me. Okay. Yes.
Guys absolutely hate girls like you.
Guess what?
That blow test curves and all that out of the water.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I don't care.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
Any
but
chance
just
I get to show up anybody,
yeah, I
know. I will take it.
Yeah, this is the problem. Okay. But anyway, we do have a calendar of events. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Oh, I'd love to. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
It's a short calendar.
Yes.
Did we ever say who was brought to you by?
No.
Okay, it's brought to you by Green Pond Land. Wait. Is it Visit Anderson and Green Pond? It's Visit
Anderson.
It
really doesn't matter.
We'll do Visit Anderson and
Green Pond Landing and Event Center.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is the Bohicket Marina calendar events. Is that right?
No. This is the South Carolina Governor's Cup
Billfish
Tournament.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Yes.
Starting May 26th through the 29th is the 53rd annual Georgetown Blue. Is the rest of it cut off? Yeah, the rest of it's cut
the
off.
Blue Marlin Tournament.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, okay.
And then June 23rd through the 26th, Carolina Billfish Classic. July 14th through the 17th is the Mega Dock Billfishing Tournament. I can finish that one.
Yes.
July 21st through the 24th is Edisto Invitational Billfish Tournament. And then it says returning in 2022 is the Bohicket Marina Invitational Billfish Tournament. I'm gonna guess that's what
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. And actually, I am supposed to be
with me.
Yeah, the Carolina Billfish Classic. Mm-hmm. Of course, Georgetown is May 26th, 29th. Megadoc, I forget what that one is. Of course, Edisto, that's self-explanatory. But the Carolina Billfish Classic is out of Mount Pleasant, and I am currently... Well, you're not. We're going down.
I'm not what?
And we're going to cover, but you're not going to go out. I'm slated to be out there, like, as a on-board observer.
Oh, that's not even fair.
Well, get your own radio show. But anyway, yeah, so that's your... It's really cool. If you're in any of those places on those weekends or during those weeks, it's really cool to go down to the docks, watch the guys pull in the afternoons and evenings, even get up early in the morning, go to a launch. That's pretty cool, too, if you like early mornings. It's just a really cool thing to get. And I've never covered this before, so I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. It's really an institution in South Carolina.
Okay, so. We get it, Lucky Duck.
Yes, I am. So anyway, all right, so changing gears from saltwater to the freshwater. Saturday, June the 5th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., the 11th annual Saluda River Rally is being held. Get a ticket at eventbrite.com, Saluda River Rally tickets. It's a fun fundraiser for South Carolina Special Olympics Area 14 Anderson County athletes, hosted by Anderson County and supported by local partners. Paddle options, the 9-mile paddle.
Shoot.
3.5 to 4 hours from Dolly Cooper Park to Piedmont Dam Portage. Must be in the water no later than 1 o'clock. 15-mile, which is a 5.5 to 6 hour from Dolly Cooper Park to the Piedmont Dam Portage and then to Timmerman Junior Kayak Launch, must be in the water no longer than 10 a.m. and leave Saluda River Grill no later than 2 p.m. to paddle the entire course. You must provide your own boat and personal flotation device. No boat, no problem. Saluda River Rambler will be offering a special rental rate for rally participants. You must secure your rental prior to the event. The $35 entry fee includes a boat registration, an event t-shirt, one barbecue plate at Saluda River Grill, return shuttle to Dolly Cooper Park, one primitive campsite at Dolly Cooper Park. Additional T-shirts and barbecue plates will be available to purchase. There's a waiver, you know, on-site registration's available. Lunch from 11 to 3. You got to be out of the water later than 5 because the last shuttle leaves from Piedmont and Pelzer at 5:30. And it says right now, face masks will be required on shuttles, and when social distance cannot be maintained, that might ease up maybe somewhat. So anyway.
I'll go for the food.
You go for the food. I'll go for the water. Got it covered.
What about food and water?
Yes.
That sounds more like it.
Okay.
Okay. The upcoming events for the local hiker and the hiker hub. April 17th. Wait, what? What am I missing?
We're already past April 17th. Goodness. Yeah, we're down here.
That makes more sense.
Oh, my gosh. We are having a blonde day today on the show.
I just used purple shampoo, so.
Is that what smells?
Hey, smells good.
Okay.
May 22nd, the Wilderness First Aid Class. I want to do that.
Well,
just saying.
Okay.
And then also the 22nd is meetup at the Hike Sam Knob Loop.
It's a meetup hike at Sam Knob Loop.
Yeah.
You need to practice this a little more sometimes.
I don't know anything about hiking.
I know. We just go for long walks in the woods. That's our definition of hiking.
I want to go do that first aid thing. That looked cool.
Those are good to have. They are good to have. We'll call them. Get the details, and we'll go over and do it.
I'm down.
Well, it's up to you then. All right, June 12th, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., the first annual South Carolina Kicking Bass for Troops Kayak Bass Fishing Tournament. This is an online event by Socks and Cookies. Online at tourneyx.com. And join us June 12th for the first annual South Carolina Kicking Bass for Troops Kayak Fishing Tournaments. Proceeds benefit Socks and Cookies mission and deployed military units in South Carolina. The prize and sponsors are to be announced. Fish any public access water across the state. And registration is 30 regular, military, veteran, 20, and first responder, 25. And you can find out more at the Facebook page for Socks and Cookies.
Ooh, cookies.
Or the first, oh my gosh. What? You're playing this blonde thing up today, aren't you?
I want food.
Okay, food. You always want food.
Anyway. Started off with barbecue, now we got
cookies.
Yeah,
I know. And I don't know whether to do that. Well, okay, this is the time of the year when you're playing in the dirt. Okay?
Yes, yes.
It's the time of the year playing it. And if you have soybeans and you want to plant soybeans, and I haven't looked into this, but I finally did this year. Average planting date, they have groups from soybeans from like 1.8 to 3.2. And I'm in the 1.9 and 2.0 group. And if I plant by May 23rd, they mature by September 19th.
What is that based off of?
Well, I don't know. Should you plant earlier maturing soybean varieties?
Oh, so it's based on the variety.
Yeah, and I have a Roundup Ready in National Deer Alliance. Let's see here now.
It's conveniently sitting right beside him.
Yeah, it is. And it's Extend Roundup Ready Soybean Seed by Bayer Seed Company. Now, that's going to be in it. That's just part of it. The other part is going to be, what else did I say we were going to get, Taylor?
I think we have a list. Weren't we going to get
the
that
ultimate
mix?
Which is Red Ripper and Iron Clay Peas. I think I already went over this though.
What about
Round
that?
Top and the DNR Quail Mix?
Oh yeah, the Quail Mix. That's what it was.
Because I do have two pairs of Whistling so far,
and they
two that I know of.
Love that Egyptian Wheat.
Yep. And here's something interesting that I'm doing, and I've always talked about this. I actually got an article about it too. Kind of goes in hand. When you're planting from year to year,
yes,
plant on a rotational basis. If you can leave what you planted last year alone this year, then that gives nesting, brooding, bugging areas for all your ground nesting birds, your quail, your turkey, stuff like that. So we're trying that. I'm trying that again. I used to do that a lot when I had more time to do it, and I'm back around to where I have a little more time, so we're going to do that this year again. What we planted, a lot of the corn stuff and Egyptian wheat and all that, we're going to leave all that up for a whole year, fallow, and we're going to plant beside it. And we're going to get on a two-year rotation like that. So it's just, and I've got a little short thing I want to play by Michael Hook about quail nesting habitat and all. And then I've got something called fallow fields here that's good. Because this is the time of the year when you're doing all this stuff. Burning, you know.
This is one of my favorite times. Like,
yes.
Besides actual hunting season, I like to play in the dirt.
Getting ready for it is really fun.
And there's nothing like, if you start like early-ish, because I'm not an early riser, but if you start early-ish in the morning and you plant for like a whole day and the heat and the sun, and then you're done after that, and then you're just like, ha, I feel successful.
And you can look out there, and it's even more successful when it starts greening up and poking through.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it gets really fun. And that's when you know you're in it for more than just
the harvest.
Yes. It's a year-round, it's a wildlife conservation, it's a habitat management deal. A lot of you out there shaking your heads up and down going, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of it could be boys that just never grow up and we just still like to play in the dirt.
And girls.
And
I
girls,
don't
too.
I think I'll ever grow up.
That's it. So, you know, just something for you to think about. But, yeah, if you're into planting soybeans, if you plant them by May 23rd, according to this chart, you should be okay, and it should mature. We need to check with Daniel about the Irish Spring soap thing.
I asked him about it. He said it didn't work.
It didn't work.
After he bought, what, 150 bars of soap?
100 bars of Irish Spring soap.
I thought it was more than that.
To try to keep deer out of his soybeans.
His soybeans.
And,
yeah.
And what happened? It didn't work.
Yeah, he said they were all in there the other day. And I was like, well, that's dinks for you.
Let's see. How many years is 100 bars of soap? Less what you used in the experiment stage.
I said, you need any soap? I said, no. Why? He goes, I got like 50 left over.
I told him if he had teeth marking it, it'd even be even better. All right, y'all hang on. We will get to something substantive. Substantive coming up. Hang on.
Misty sunrise in my hometown, rows of cotton about knee.
I have not heard this song in forever.
It's a good song.
It is a good song.
Great song.
Who sings it?
Buddy Jewell. Buddy Jewell. That's who sings this
I
one.
I like this song.
Yep, good song.
From Carolina. Georgia,
whoa.
Did it just?
Guess it ended.
Wow.
That's a little
that
short.
Sad.
It was only 50 seconds. Normally my intros and outros are a minute. Sorry about that. Buddy, you can look it up.
You can look it up.
Yep. I always like to play this since he did this last year.
Oh, I forgot about this video.
Yeah, it's really fun. Michael Hook does some of these little videos, and they're really cool. So bear with me if you've got some property. This is a real struggle. It was for me until I did it once or twice, and now it's really easy. But listen to this and then think about what you could do on your end.
Hey, my name is Michael Hook. I work with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. I'm the small game biologist for the state. Also participate in the South Carolina Bob White Initiative Technical Committee. I'm here to talk to you today about a pretty simple Bob White habitat management technique using a bush hog. But while it is really simple, it's also one of the most difficult that you can do. So let me jump on real quick. I'll demonstrate it, and then we can talk about it.
This is good stuff. Pay attention. great. It's a wonderful, habitat tool.
Now, I know that doesn't seem that hard, but it is. You know, this time of year, you've got grasses and weeds growing in your old fields, on ditch banks, on roads, around your hunt club. Your neighbors are starting to mow. It's hard to put the bush hog up. But here's the thing. Those birds, those bobwhites, all the other species that are ground nesters, turkeys are using this habitat, the bobwhites are using this habitat, the pollinators, the butterflies, everything is using those weeds. It doesn't look like much, but that's a lot of good quality habitat that you're mowing down this time of year. You know, bobwhites are entering their peak nesting right now. June, July is sort of South Carolina's peak nesting. They can nest all the way up into October, but really, if you'll lay off the bush hog for, you know, at least till August, that goes a long way. That gives them a lot of habitat to use. They'll nest, they'll use it, they'll move on, and then you can go back to bush hogging. You know, if you can't not bush hog, do it with a purpose. Think, okay, I need to do this part of this field right now. That's imperative. I can leave this other section okay for a little while. Bush hog one side of the ditch bank, but not the other. If you can transition over from using the bush hog to the disc and doing some winter disking and maintaining all your fields and such like that, so be it. That's even better. But at any rate, just be cognizant that while you're out there bush hogging this time of year, you may be mowing down good quality bobwhite habitat. So take that under consideration. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You want everything to look so good, and fresh cut fields and all really look good. But it was probably 6-7 years ago now. I was bush hogging in May at the farm, and on one lap, I was coming up to a sweet gum tree. Now, sweet gums I can't stand, but it was a sweet gum. It was probably like 2 or 3 feet tall. So it's probably, you know, I mowed it last year, and it came up again, and a turkey hen, came out between the front tire and the back tire on the bush hog. I mean, scared me to death. Slammed on brakes. There's her nest underneath that sweet gum tree, surrounded by broom straw and whatever else was growing up. And I was like, okay, so I got to stop that. So I went on around, and my next loop, I cut off probably 30 yards before that nest and went and started to make a loop inside of it. And I ran up two fawns, two twins.
Yep, I remember that.
And I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I am no longer bush hogging until July, August. And it's tough to get it going. I mean, it's hot in August. Mm. You know, it's much easier to go out there in May when it's in the 70s and 80s in bush hog than it is in August when it's 80s and 90s. But I'll trade the wildlife that I see and the habitat I'm leaving for a clean field. Mm. Or a clean, you know, like he talks about, the, you know, ditches and roadways and stuff like that. So just something, putting that bush hogging away is tough because it's fun. Mm-hmm. Bush hogging, it's enjoyable.
You got to teach me how to do it this year.
I know, I need to.
Anyway. I know how to drive the tractor. I just don't know how to bush hog yet.
Yes. Okay.
It's the next step.
All right, what you got?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you pulled up that video, Michael Hook, because he's in this article I have about this new...
I might need to skip the one I got because he's also in it too.
Gosh.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know this was a thing. And you don't normally think about bunnies being deadly to other bunnies.
Yes.
But thanks to this disease, they are. So, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources have become concerned about our new rabbit disease that affects wild and domestic rabbits. And it is nearly always fatal. Rabbit hemorrhagic disease, virus 2, is a highly contagious disease, but don't worry because humans aren't susceptible to it, but they can spread it. I don't know how, but they can.
We can.
Yeah.
We can. We're humans. Well, We can spread it.
Oh, it's just weird.
We're not susceptible.
Bunny disease.
Bunny disease.
Ugh. So this is a quote from Michael Hook. He said, "This is a highly contagious disease that can persist in the environment for a very, very long time." He is a small game project leader with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, he said in that video. And he said, "These factors can make the disease control efforts extremely challenging once it's in the wild and is affecting the populations." The outbreak began in 2020, and it was somewhere in the southwestern U.S., and it caused substantial death to some native wild rabbits. They're calling it RHDV2. Was detected in Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Utah, Wyoming, and Mexico. And then the most recent case was in Florida. Some of the symptoms are loss of appetite, high fever, seizures, bleeding from the nose, mouth, difficulty breathing, and sudden death. Wow. That's morbid for
like
a bunny
EXD
rabbit.
EXD in deer.
Mm-hmm. And it says the virus is transmitted by direct and indirect contact. Hook said sick rabbits or rabbits found dead should not be collected or handled, but you need to call your local South Carolina Department of Natural Resources biologist or conservation officer.
Have we detected any in South Carolina, or are they just
no,
kind of being on the outlook
closest
for it?
We have is Florida.
Okay.
So we're still good, but if you see any
be on the lookout
weird
for
looking
bunnies.
Yeah. Don't touch it.
Beware. You can get to that next segment. I'll finish this one up with this one. Alligator hunting season the season's not here, but the application process is open.
Right.
You've got four units, southern coast of the middle coast of the Midlands and PD. All of Lake Marion is grouped into the Midlands unit. Moultrie is in the lower unit, unit two, middle coast. Hunter can only hunt in the unit for which she was selected. You can list the units in rank priority, and the selection will be based upon this ranking. Season is September the 11th through October the 9th. So it's an online application process. I think it's $10 to apply, which is non-refundable. And then once you get drawn, there's an additional fee of, I believe, $100. Yeah, the application process is May 1st through June 15th. And there's no benefit to applying early. It's a lottery draw. And they'll be notified beginning in July. This is my fourth year. So I have 3 points. Did not get drawn last year. 4 points. Some people say yes. Some people say no. We will see. Alligator meat can be kept but not sold. Hides and parts may be sold according to regulations. It's a $100 fee if you get drawn. And preference points increase your chances of being selected for future alligator hunt drawing. Every year you don't get selected, you accumulate 1 point, and 1 point for every year in which they apply but are not selected to hunt. Previous applicants that failed to apply every year would lose their preference points. This is no longer the case. So preference points cannot be transferred, and there you go. So if you applied for a gator tag, good luck in the drawing this year. Me, I hope to get one finally. Hang on, last segment coming up. Starting off awfully low.
Good gracious. I've never.
I know.
Ever.
That's like it was really low and then it came up.
Uh-huh. I've never heard that song start like that.
That's one of the other things we're going to do.
Oh boy.
Work on bumper music.
More of mine, I hope.
Yeah, we can do more of yours, but.
Oh, you just agreed.
We need to.
To something.
Yeah, but it's something else we got to work on. Scheduling bumper music.
Oh.
Is something we got to work on.
Quit hitting me. My muscles are sore.
Well.
Yeah, I did. I broke out the old
bow. You broke out the bow the other day.
That was quite fun. I still got it. I was getting like 48s and 49s out there. I was at 10 meters, so.
But it's okay.
I was still doing good. And I held, but I remembered, I opened my bow case and said, oh, I thought I didn't need one of these, arm guard thingies. And I went out there and started shooting, and I was like, oh, I didn't need that, because now I got welts all over my arms.
Now you're not holding it right.
It's like swollen.
You didn't ever have that when you shot.
It's because my elbows hyperextend.
Well, don't hyperextend.
I can't help it.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Turn them in just a little bit.
That's awkward.
No, but that's the correct way to shoot.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's the correct way to shoot.
That's awkward. I have something.
I'm sorry, folks. She is really being a blonde today, and I apologize for that.
But I have something substantial.
Okay.
That's a big word. I just use a big word.
Okay. Let me mute you for a moment.
Which one of you?
There you are. Okay, let's start this over. No more blonde. If you gonna go blonde, then we'll cut you off for the rest of the show. You agreed? Okay, I got kind of a look there.
I'm salty.
Okay, go ahead.
Substantial is a big word. I feel like using big words because I'm a senior now. Anyway, okay. So I kind of have always wanted to find an article like this, and when I was digging through the pile trying to figure out something for this show, I saw it. I said, yep, that's for me, because I'm a high school student. And I have friends that do not like me because I'm a hunter. They're not actually friends. They're acquaintances. And so this article, if you haven't gotten already, is about why legal hunting can actually save wildlife and not harm it, which is a point I have wanted to get across to so many people, but they cannot get past the fact that we kill Bambi or we kill the pretty little white doves. No, they're not white. But I just cannot get through their thick skulls. Anyway, so this is an article. You can find it on thehill.com. But it starts off talking about how anti-hunters and a lot of environmentalists have started off this year. I mean, we all know things are just, people are like either black or white in certain things. There's no gray. And it's a lot like this when it comes to hunters, is because we started off this year super negative, and after 2020, it was already negative. But they have made it a mission to paint hunters as cruel and evil individuals. And they don't take into consideration the difference between poaching and legal hunting. And legal hunting, they don't really care to know about. But if they would, they would see it's something millions of people all over the country, all over the world do. Different parts of the world, they use it for survival. Here we use it for, we use it for food. But it's a way to get people outside. It's a way to bond with friends. It's a way to bond with family and make memories and hit that big milestone of shooting your first deer, going on your first turkey hunt, which I have yet to do. Father, I blame you.
Yes, go ahead, blame me.
And they don't understand that hunters, like we just said, are conservationists. And decades of wildlife science prove that the symbiotic relationship between hunting and effective conservation. A really good example.
And hunting also teaches life lessons.
Patience.
Responsibility.
Remembering ethics. Your gun. Knowing how to keep up with things.
Ethics.
Still
knowing,
learning.
Knowing the rules and abiding by the rules.
Holding yourself accountable when you're hunting by yourself.
That's right.
Should I take that shot? Should I not take that shot?
That's right.
Am I making a smart decision by climbing this tree or climbing that tree or everything like that? But so an example.
And life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Life and death. There is no reset button on a gun.
And there's no, I mean.
Once you pull the trigger, there's no recall on that bullet. And that's a huge decision.
And, I mean, another thing is,
carry on.
You know, watching where you step going in your tree stand. If you're not wearing a safety harness, that could be life or death, too.
That's right.
Okay.
Personal responsibility. it all plays into the mix. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I get through my example?
Go ahead. 6 minutes.
It's the billions of tax dollars granted to state wildlife agencies since Congress passed the First Aid in Wildlife Restoration Act in 1937, which is known as Pittman-Robertson Act. This law provides states with conservation dollars from the 11% federal tax on shooting, on sporting arms, ammunition, and archery equipment, and the 10% tax on handguns. Despite the contributions, anti-hunters continue to bash sportsmen and women by spreading rumors that there's no difference between hunters and poachers. Legal regulated hunting is a key contributor to better manage, healthier, and protect wildlife. It's ensuring that species don't outgrow their habitats and everything they have. Scientifically determined quotas set aside by state and federal wildlife biologists and requirements for hunting licenses and user fees are crucial rules for legal hunting because it shows the distinction between the hunters and the criminal poachers. Hunters rather than poachers want to be a part of conservation efforts on the off season. They want to get their children and grandchildren out and learn the sport that they grew up loving and hope that they can pass it down through the generations. Because honestly, if we're not getting the next generation out there, we're losing a whole generation of conservationists. Not so much hunters, but conservationists.
Even if they don't hunt, they learn the conservation aspect of hunting they may carry their entire life. Therefore, they're invested in it.
They learn to respect the wildlife and their habitat. I mean, it can go as far as littering, not littering. It could be a difference between
sure.
People must understand the immense work that hunters have done. Groups like Missouri Department of Conservation helped fund the Black Bear Research. The Safari Club International Foundation provided $100,000 to support the MDC in, I think it was 2020, I think. They're talking about the black bear population increased by 9%. They managed to get that under control because they passed it's the Black Bear Management Plan, and that goes, it's 2020 to 2030. And then you have the wolf populations in the western U.S. that we talked about a couple of times.
Which are now being delisted because they're overreaching the range that they were originally produced and reproduced.
Exactly.
Now they're venturing off where they are protected.
Right. And this is they've marked their remarkable recovery over it in the lower 48 states. So, but in order to make 2021 a good year with less issues, people have to realize that it's not all about the emotional part. You have to take into consideration the work, the conservation, and what we're doing, not just seeing us kill animals, we're helping protect them. And you have to know your facts about it.
Nobody pays to do what we do.
No.
Pure and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little something here to go along with that. Why hunting is conservation for Rocky Mountain Oak Federation. Number 9 is conservation dollars. They have a top 10. In 1937, hunters requested an 11% tax on guns, ammo, bows, and arrows. The tax generated $12.2 billion to date and $673 million in 2019. And nobody pays to do what we do. Restoring wild turkey populations, which we're in a downturn of that. Mm-hmm. Restoring the white-tailed deer. The wood ducks. You know, in the 70s, wood ducks were all but extinct.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're back because what? A bunch of people funded wood duck boxes because there weren't a natural cavity in trees for them to nest.
Right.
So
just know, before you go and judge somebody that says, oh, I'm a hunter, or anything like that, you have to know your facts about what they do. You have to know the person. You have to know how they go about their season, if they're legal, if they're not legal. You can't just throw us all into one bucket.
That's right. And there are degrees of hunters. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has their own way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And from dog hunters to still hunters to stand hunters, you know, we all share it. And look, if you don't understand it, talk to someone who is one. Mm-hmm. Try to get a perspective on it.
But don't go in attacking us.
That's right.
That won't go over too well.
Saw a picture of the five stand gazebo was hauled into Camp Woody this week.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really nice. It looks like a big long shed gazebo thing for the five stand sporting clays. So summer camp is obviously on this year.
That's good.
And as we went into last spring, you know, we said the outdoors is never closed. Mm-hmm. It's always out there, and, you know, and there were people saying, oh, but you can transmit COVID through the outdoors. Well, good news for everybody involved. A study came out that the CDC said that it's a less than 10% chance of transmission outdoors. Well, there was been a study done.
Oh, boy.
That's actually less than 1% chance of transmission outdoors. And the scientists said it could be as little as 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
So, you know.
Even more reason to get outside.
That's right. And when you're out there, don't wear a mask. I mean, even if you need to wear a mask, I understand that. That's your choice. I haven't done much of that the entire time by choice. But when you're outside, take it off.
Get the fresh
Breathe
air.
Breathe that fresh air. Feel that sunlight. That's some of the best stuff medicine out there. So anyway, until next time, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads if you can.
And don't forget the camera. We'll see you back here, maybe a little more organized next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yes, I'm gone to Carolina.